If you look left as the streetcar goes around the circle, you'll get a glimpse of the World War II Museum, huge, unusually shaped gray buildings. And in the foreground, a building of rough red stone that houses the Confederate Memorial Hall Museum. The building is in a style called Richardsonian Romanesque, named for the New Orleans-born architect Henry Hobson Richardson, who's often considered one of the three definitive American architects. His style is now most often associated with university buildings and large public structures. This is a design by him, built after his death, so it's the closest thing to a Richardson building in his home city. The circle itself has served a few purposes in its time. Circuses and other big events used to occupy it, and it was also home for a little over a century to a statue of Robert E. Lee, a general for the Confederacy. Today it's mostly known as a great but very crowded spot to watch Mardi Gras parades. The rest of the year it's pretty quiet here, apart from the Circle Bar, located on the World War II Museum side of the circle, which does a great lineup of local bands in the evenings. If you take the streetcar back to Canal Street, Lee Circle will mark the start of new sights. Here, the tracks for the downtown-bound car split off and go one block over to Carondelet, so as to accommodate the one-way streets in the CBD. Lee Circle stands at the edge between the CBD and the Lower Garden District, so you'll get a change of atmosphere after you pass under the bridge. The bridge is called the Crescent City Connection, and it crosses the Mississippi a little ways further to the left. It's part of the interstate highway system, which here was able to take advantage of the existing lay of the land. This was a shipping canal, and there's still a warehouse character to some of the buildings that border it. After the bridge, St. Charles divides two neighborhoods, the Lower Garden District on the left and Central City on the right. Central City has moved throughout its history from being mostly German and Eastern European to mostly Jewish to mostly black. So in a few places, you can see churches in buildings built as synagogues. A few blocks into Central City is Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard, home to several good restaurants, and the Ashe Cultural Arts Center, the main home base for African diaspora arts in the city. Originally, the Lower Garden District and the nearer part of Central City were part of the same development, a garden suburb built on land bought from several plantations and carefully designed by Barthélemy Lafont, a Frenchman with connections to both the U.S. government and local piracy. A couple blocks to the left along Coliseum and Camp Streets, you can see what he was imagining. Oak-lined streets, fountains, a central park bordered with classical houses. It's an easy walk to Coliseum Square Park, or you'd see it if you do the return trip along the Magazine Street bus. The homes are a little less extravagant than the ones in the Garden District next door. The Garden District is sort of a cast of divas, while the Lower Garden District is more of an ensemble. And the Garden District ended up attracting the wealthiest, while the Lower Garden District was mixed. Many of the new arrivals to New Orleans were poor immigrants, and many of them ended up living in rows of shacks along the neighborhood's edge, or mansions turned apartment buildings. One of the main traces of the original plan is the street names. Starting from the overpass, the streets are named for the Greek goddesses of the arts, the muses. St. Charles itself used to be called Naiads Street, after the spirits of rivers from Greek mythology, referencing the fact that St. Charles almost matches the shape of the Mississippi. After the last of the muses, you'll pass Felicity Street, named for a nun who signed off on the deal to sell the Ursuline plantation land to Barthélemy Lafont. Other than the French Quarter, the whole city used to be plantations, which little by little got sold to developers. Today, all you can see of those plantations is their edges. St. Charles Avenue bends a bit to the right at Felicity Street, and whenever you see a small turn like that, you're crossing between plantations. There's also a historic marker at the intersection with Felicity Street, noting the former location of Higgins Industries, the company responsible for designing and building the Higgins boats used in the Normandy invasion during World War II. Normandy required ships to land on a beach rather than in a harbor, so special boats were needed, and the design ended up being based on craft used for navigating the shallow swamps of Louisiana, the same kind of boat you might take a swamp tour on. The Higgins boats were key to the American involvement in World War II, hence in large part the New Orleans connection for the National World War II Museum. It started off as a D-Day museum, then added exhibits until it became the most comprehensive resource on the subject in the country. You've got a few food and drink options on this part of St. Charles, and it's unusually heavy toward Asian food, particularly Japanese. There's a cluster of restaurants right around Melpomene Street, which is how the locals of today say the name of the muse Melpomene, and shortly after that you'll find the Avenue Pub, which looks a little divey, but has one of the most extensive beer menus in the city, and an excellent food menu, too. If you prefer cocktails to beer, then your best bet is Hot Tin, the rooftop bar in the Hotel Pontchartrain, just shy of Jackson Avenue. New Orleans isn't exactly a skyline town, but you can get a look back over where you've been so far, notice the bend between plantations, and follow the bridge you passed under earlier out to the Mississippi. The Hotel Pontchartrain itself might ring a bell if you've read the work of Anne Rice, the novelist behind Interview with the Vampire and lots of other New Orleans-set fantasy. She references it and plenty other landmarks in this area. One last thing. If you look left a little before Jackson Avenue, you'll see a piece of the Eiffel Tower. Since it's one of the most visited places in the world, naturally a restaurant was added in 1937, which eventually proved to be too heavy and was replaced. The original one got broken down, crated up, and shipped here. The idea was to open it for business on the occasion of the 1984 World's Fair. It was another World's Fair that occasioned the building of the tower in the first place. But it missed that mark by a few years, and the restaurant that finally opened didn't last. It's never remotely seen the traffic it used to get in Paris, but it's getting by as a venue for private events. Just beyond the Eiffel Society and the Pontchartrain Hotel is Jackson Avenue. Jackson is the beginning of the Garden District, and it's one possible spot to get off and walk around. The best-known site on Jackson is the Buckner Mansion, popularly known as the Coven House by fans of the show American Horror Story. It's a couple blocks to the left from the intersection. You could also wait and get out at Washington Avenue, the next light, which would put you at the start point for our Garden District audio tour, or just a block from Lafayette Cemetery No. 1, which we also have an audio tour of. It's just a few blocks different, so you can also walk all of it. The next track is made to start from Jackson Avenue, but you wouldn't be missing much in the way of sights if you got off here and got back on at Washington. If you want to get just a taste of Magazine Street, the parts around here can be a good impression. Right here by Jackson, you have a portion with a vintage and antique store theme. Further along, at Washington and beyond, you'll find a variety of mostly local-flavored restaurants.